This is the Brain, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Yes!
When I'm not ridding Third Earth of Mumra's evil, I'm enjoying ToonCast with the other Thundercats.
Just think about what you want to do before you do it.
Hello and welcome to ToonCast. This is episode 240, and this will be a brand new part of the podcast that I am calling ToonCast Origins. I am one of your hosts, TFG and Mike, and I welcome longtime toonster, Mr. Optimus Solo. Hello, sir.
It's like it's come full circle from the first episode of ToonCast to the first episode of ToonCast Origins.
There you go.
I don't know how much younger I was back in the day, but I've aged a bit in the process.
2009, I was 29.
So you know how, like, somebody runs to be president and they look like they're just a young adult, and then like 4 years later they look like they've aged 30 years. That's what recording podcasts with Mike for the last 12 years does.
Shut the hell up! What the hell's wrong with you?
We're thankful this is an audio show and not a video show.
Knock you out.
All right. He's got gray hair now. No, I don't. I don't.
Karen's tried to pull several white hairs out of me before, but anyway. So ToonCast Origins, it's just like ToyCast Origins and the Pullbag Origins and eventually Powers of Grayskull Origins. There's a number of questions that I ask the guest, and we get their story and how they got into or out of doing something like watching cartoons in this, for instance. So question one, did you grow up watching cartoons, and what were some of your earliest cartoon memories?
Hell to the mother effing yes. Yes, I grew up watching cartoons. I wish I had like a way to watch my childhood, because I don't know how I did everything I did. Because I feel like my sister and I have more knowledge of more obscure cartoons and, you know, young kid shows. Like, we bring up more shows that nobody has ever heard of except for the two of us, I swear, than anybody I've ever met or run into. But I was also outside a ton. I was always outside playing football, basketball, baseball, you know, whatever it was. I was always outside running around, capture the flag, you know, this, that, and the other. But somehow I must have just also watched a lot of TV in between stuff. Maybe it's because I was a big time gamer early on, but maybe not like gamers today. So I didn't have as much time dedicated to video games, so maybe that's how I watched so many cartoons. And there was a second part of this question. I know there was.
Your earliest cartoon memories.
Okay. Earliest cartoon memories. Oof. That would be hard. I would probably say the earliest one that I remember would be possibly Smurfs. That's as far as like me specifically watching something. I was exposed to other cartoons through my brother, who was 10 years older. So things like Scooby-Doo and Looney Tunes and, you know, some of that other stuff, that, you know, the old Hanna-Barbera stuff, things of that nature that my brother might have been watching, Tom and Jerry, things like that. But as far as like me actually remembering it, it was like Smurfs and Care Bears were some of the earlier things that I believe I remember.
Yeah, I'm about the same, and we'll get my origins down the line here in ToonCast. What cartoons were you watching most as a kid? Were you a Saturday morning consumer, an after school consumer, or both?
I was all of the above. I was afternoons, Saturday mornings, eventually, not like as a little kid, but as like as I was getting closer to later elementary school, I would actually get up and watch stuff before school. That's when I discovered that Transformers was being replayed at like 5 in the morning on the Sci-Fi Channel or whatever it was. But I do remember getting home in time to, G.I. Joe or Transformers or whatever. It was a lot of those action cartoons that I was most obsessed with that were on after school. So it was get home, watch that, and then go outside afterwards and, you know, et cetera. But I do remember a lot of Saturday morning stuff. That was more Muppet Babies, Garfield and Friends. There was a couple others that were played on Saturday mornings, but those are like the two that I remember the most. I'm trying to think of what else was a Saturday morning cartoon. I'd have to go back through my logs, but I definitely remember Muppet Babies and Garfield and Friends always playing Saturday morning.
I always, and I'm probably wrong in this, I always remember Garfield and Heathcliff back to back. I could have been wrong.
That would have been weird, because Heathcliff was Hanna-Barbera. Well, I should take that back. It wasn't, there was multiple versions of Heathcliff, so I don't want to get people mad at me. I don't ever remember them back to back, but I watched them both. So I was always more of a Heathcliff fan than Garfield early on, but then I kind of switched over to Garfield a little bit later. I liked the Friends portions better than the Garfield portions.
Yeah.
The U.S. Acres.
Yep. What was your number one favorite cartoon as a kid?
Transformers. Transformers by far. Now, that's not to say that I didn't have other phases. You know, it was He-Man early on, before that. And then it was Transformers and G.I. Joe kind of simultaneously. But Transformers was the one I was more obsessed with. And then, obviously, I went through a Thundercats and Silverhawks phase. And then later on, right towards the end of my cartoon watching for a little while, was the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles took over. But that was – I was obsessed with the live-action movie, the first one, and a little bit the second one. But the first one, I was obsessed. That was the first movie that I ever had the lines memorized. I remember trying to draw the cartoons, having coloring books of drawing the characters. I had coloring books of it. I had the cards, the playing cards that you could get.
Yep.
Not playing cards, but the trading cards that you could get for the Turtles. So I was hugely obsessed with the live action movie. But that was kind of as I was getting in the age where I was getting closer to just an older age where you're into more things. You're into sports and you're starting to be interested in girls and things of that nature, whatever it might be. So I like shied away from cartoons for a minute. As it kind of got into the '90s, the early to mid nineties. So the Turtles was probably the last one I was a hardcore fan of.
Yeah. I had that movie novelization. Oh my God. I used to love those things. Good. Yeah. So good. Do you have a favorite cartoon genre or type?
Yeah, it would be it's the boys action cartoons. You know what I mean? But I don't have a specific genre within that. Like, it could be a sci-fi thing, like the Transformers or the Silverhawks. You know, it could be a fantasy thing, more like He-Man, Dungeons and Dragons, things of that nature. Or it could be some stuff in between. But I just really liked that genre. That's what was targeted towards me, so I ate it all up. You know, the mask, the cops, the all that stuff. I was obsessed with all of it. And then there was a part of the like Disney stuff that came out a little bit later on in the 80s, where you got like the DuckTales and the Tailspin and the Rescue Rangers, where it was just kind of that like adventure mystery type stuff. But early on, it was definitely the boys action cartoons.
Absolutely. How did your cartoon watching habits change as you grew up and throughout your life?
Yeah, so I talked about that a little bit, but I mean, early on, I was obsessed. Everything cartoons I would watch. I knew all the Nickelodeon shows. I knew all the Saturday morning shows. You know, I knew everything. There was some stuff that I, you know, gravitated away from, but I watched a ton of it. Probably up until, like I said, right around the Turtles came out in late 80s, and then, you know, by the time the Rugrats and Doug and stuff like that came out, I was out. I was already out before that. I wasn't a huge fan of that type of stuff because I was not the right age for it. So I kind of faded away. And then I was just trying to like search for new ways to watch the old stuff. That's when I was watching the Transformers on Sci-Fi and trying to find more things like that. But it wasn't probably until college where I was starting to get back into it. I had some roommates that were big time into Dragon Ball Z. I didn't watch a ton of that, but it kind of got me back into searching stuff out. So that would have been like when the 2002 He-Man came out. So I watched that shortly after, you know, not right away, but you know, a little bit later on. And then as these more reboots and stuff started coming through, I would watch more. I watched a ton for what I did with behind the voice actors to capture character images and things of that, which exposed me to a whole lot of more of the modern stuff. But I just love cartoons in general. So there might've been times where I wasn't watching stuff that was live on TV, but that doesn't mean I didn't like them. Like I literally have more than four encyclopedias of cartoons, like animated series encyclopedias. I have almost every one that's ever been printed in my house. Also first and second and third editions of the same book. So
wow.
I'm obsessed with cartoons. So that's all there is to it.
How often do you go back and rewatch any of the cartoons you grew up with?
Well, unfortunately, life hasn't let me do it as much as I wanted. That's why I've been starting some projects or kind of toying around with some stuff that would force me to watch stuff, because I've been dying to go back through some of the stuff. So obviously Transformers, I've gone through multiple times. I'm as obsessed as going through and actually making a spreadsheet of which characters had the most lines in G1. I have that somewhere, that all the characters and how many lines they had. You know, I've gone back through and we've watched a lot of stuff for Tooncast. So, you know, going back through Thundercats and Silverhawks and some of that stuff, Mask, obviously, mostly. I almost made it all the way through that. So I've been able to do a lot of it for podcasting or for reviews, but there are some series that I've just been dying to either watch again or watch for the first time. I've been dying to go back through the Turtles. I've been dying to go back through G.I. Joe probably more than anything, because that's the one that I feel like I've neglected the most over my life. And then there's some stuff that I have not started because I want to be able to watch it all almost like straight through series after series. I am one of the biggest Star Wars fans you'll meet. I have not watched any of the animated series, but I own all of them now, almost. I own all of Clone Wars. I own all of Rebels. And I've just been waiting for a reason to just start so I can watch all of the cartoons that are associated with Star Wars.
I'm currently in the middle of going through Clone Wars. I think I'm up to season 5, but I haven't. I watched the first 4 seasons because I had never seen it. I did. That's the beautiful thing about today. We have streaming services, folks. We can watch it all at once in one place in Disney Plus. Say what you want to about the Walt Disney Company and whatever they do and whatever they own and whatever. The politics of it all, but having Disney Plus and having access to everything and being able to watch it at any point in time that you want is amazing.
And I'm still hugely obsessed or, you know, a big fan of the physical media too. So like our theater room that we had put in when we had our basement done has built-in shelving, and that has all of like the quote unquote adult movies, whether it be Star Wars and Marvel stuff, horror stuff, drama, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But then we have some DVD cases in our main part of the room that's kind of more of the kid area, where I have all of my TV shows on DVD, all of our Disney movies, and all of my animated series on DVD. And I own a ton of animated series on DVD, a lot of complete series sets and stuff like that. So I very much enjoy going through that and listening to commentaries and the bonus features and stuff like that. But like I said, some of them have just been waiting to be cracked open. So hopefully I'll have some excuses to do that soon.
Yep, absolutely. Which cartoons from your childhood hold up the best and or worst today?
Well, there's an easy one that I would say doesn't hold up as much as people think it does, and that would be Mask. I love the toys. I love the idea of the cartoon. The cartoon does not hold up. I don't care what people say. I will not be voting for that in any future top 100s as much as I did the first time around. But I think some of the stuff that probably holds up the most, even though it's dated for some of the references, I really think you can still watch most of the Tiny Toons and the Animaniac stuff and get just as much enjoyment. Granted, like I said, there are political commentaries, social commentaries, stuff like that that might go over your head if it's not current, but I still think most of that stuff works. And I honestly, as much as people want to hate on it, I still think there is things about Transformers and He-Man and stuff like that that work out fine. Muppet Babies holds up really well. I would say Garfield and Friends holds up. You know, some of those that just really lasted a long time hold up fairly well. I've never been a diehard South Park fan, but I feel like it holds up more than some of the other shows in that genre. I think some of the other stuff might be a little bit more dated, but I think South Park holds up pretty well. So I'm trying to think of another one that just doesn't hold up. Man, I try to kind of put those out of my memories. Mask just comes to mind just because we tried to review the whole thing and I had to tap out because it was so bad at the end. But there's definitely other ones that do not hold up well, and I'll probably have more to say about those in future episodes.
Yep. Which cartoons that aired when you were an adult have you liked the most?
I guess I would say the 7D is a good cartoon. I would say Koolapari was a good cartoon that aired a few years back. God, I'm forgetting the name of a couple of these other ones that have been recent. And then as far as there's been some reboots that have been pretty good. Obviously, the 2002 He-Man was aired as I was an adult. He-Man Revelation, your Masters of the Universe Revelation just aired, I think is fantastic. I really like Transformers Prime. I like G.I. Joe Renegades to a point. I don't think it holds up quite as well as some of those other ones. The Thundercats, not Thundercats Roar. The Thundercats
series.
Yeah, was really good. I thought I wish it would have gotten more episodes and more time because I would have liked to see what they did with that. But that was a good one. But there's some that I just haven't had the time to explore enough, but that seem like they have some good things about them. But mm-hmm. I haven't watched a ton of like the modern stuff like in its entirety, unless it was something that could just kind of like hit the right time or had the right elements to it, except for the reboots.
Yeah.
And save the breakfast brew, ha 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 ha.
You want help?
But what about your dream breakfast? You might miss it.
Hey, I care about you more than any old egg sandwich.
Oh, grumpy.
Don't go there. I'm on the verge.
See you in Jollywood. Oh,
wow. All right, number 9. Are there any cartoons you hate or have been greatly disappointed by?
I am Rengar. I dare to be stupid.
As far as cartoons that disappointed me, I know I just kind of name dropped it a second ago, but Thundercats Roar shouldn't be called Thundercats Roar. It shouldn't be called Thundercats anything. That's just bizarre. I don't care if it was made to be funny or made to be a joke or whatever. Just not a fan of that at all.
Mm-hmm.
I was not a huge fan of stuff like, I know you like it better, but I wasn't a huge fan of Captain Planet. It's got its thing, you know, it's got its pluses, but I wasn't for me. Like I said, Mask, watching it as an adult was disappointing. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think if there was anything. Some of the Transformers series have been disappointing, obviously. You know, the Unicron trilogy was disappointing for some respects. I was disappointed with Transformers Animated.
I will choose this fighter jet. No! The assault tank! Jet! Tank! Why not scan both?
Sorry.
Illusion is the ultimate weapon.
It wasn't for me. Things of that nature. I can't think of anything that I just outright like. I'm trying to think of one that I outright hate because there's got to be one. I know, like, you like. I'm trying to chime into that hate like that you have for Ren and Stimpy or something like that and see if I can find something myself that I just like. Hate that much.
It's not necessary. Okay, yes, I dislike Ren and Stimpy, but more it's more to the point of I'm not into gross out cartoons, and yeah. That cartoon to me is one of those let's gross everybody out.
Right. I would say maybe was it Johnny Bravo that I had a big problem with? During Tooncast, I wasn't a huge fan of that. There's a couple things that you've asked me to do over the years that I'm like, I have no interest in that cartoon. So there's a few out there, but generally I am more positive about cartoons. Even if they're bad, I can find something that's entertaining about them.
Yep. Growing up, did you and your friends ever pretend to be the cartoon characters you saw on TV at, say, school recess? Or something like that.
Not as much as we pretended to be wrestlers, but because we pretended to be wrestlers all the time. But I do remember, and it might just be because of the products that they had out there, but Thundercats, for me, they had a claw that you could wear. Like you could wear the Lino's paw. And then they had a few different things like that that were kind of role play items. And I do remember having those and being out in the yard and playing as if we were characters in Thundercats, which I don't remember ever doing for Transformers, G.I. Joe. I remember playing with the toys a lot more, but I don't remember doing like the role play stuff, except for maybe like a Halloween costume or something like that, where you would dress up like He-Man or a Transformer. But I do remember specifically Thundercats that they had the stuff that we were outside playing with.
Awesome. Who is your end-all, be-all favorite cartoon character from any cartoon? You can pick a hero and a villain.
Oh, Lord, I wasn't prepared for this. jeepers, creepers. For villain, just right off the top of my head without analyzing it, without making a big spreadsheet like I do for everything else, I'd have to go with either Shredder or Megatron.
Great. Terrific. We're on the run, and that idiot wants to chit-chat.
We are indestructible. Power to the Decepticons forever.
Because Cobra Commander and Skeletor, although they're cool, were more comedic in a way a lot of the times. And I feel like Shredder and Megatron were more intimidating. They were more like real life badass, so to speak. So that's probably who I would go with for villains. If I'm going with good characters, oh Lord. Good God almighty. Quicksilver from Silverhawks was pretty cool. It's hard because with Transformers, I can't pick one. We just did a whole top 100 countdown, and there's so many that I like. So I'm not going to say Optimus Prime because that was not my favorite as a kid. I like Optimus Prime, but he wasn't like my end-all be-all. Turtles, there was four of them, so that becomes hard because you like each one for different reasons.
Yeah.
I probably like Michelangelo the most, but, you know, and then G.I. Joe, it's kind of unlike all those other ones because – whereas, you know, you have He-Man as the main hero and you have Optimus Prime as the main hero, G.I. Joe, there was always a group. You know, there was always different. Yeah, you had Duke at times, but then you also had Flint at times or Hawk or, you know, you had different people. So it was like hard to pick like just one individual character from that. Whereas Silverhawks, Quicksilver or Thundercats, Lion-O, like those were the main ones. But I was always more of a fan of Quicksilver than Lion-O. So maybe I'll go with him, but that's just because I can't think right now.
Sword of Omens, give me sight beyond sight.
Whirlwind approaching.
Wing it.
Oh boy.
I'm trying to think of something else, but I don't have a specific character that's just popping out in my head right now. Should I go with Leader One?
Please, no. No GoBots allowed. What are some other cartoon characters you like? Are there any you hate?
I mean, I'm not a big fan of Johnny Bravo as a character. I just, no thanks. But as far as other characters that I like, I mentioned a bunch of them just now, but I always liked Papa Smurf. I'll give him some love. I always liked Kermit from Muppet Babies. Let's see, who else should I mention? I thought She-Ra was pretty cute. I liked Heathcliff. He was a badass and a like troublemaker and that type of thing. I'm trying to think anybody else that I want to mention. Jem was also cute. Her and She-Ra were probably the two best looking ones out of the group.
Synergy.
I don't know if there's anybody else like that I would say from a liking standpoint. Any characters that I hated?
See, T-Bob, Snarf, Orko.
The sidekicks are sometimes not to be loved, but I like stuff about them. The human characters that are inserted in stuff like Transformers, I could do without. That's for damn sure. I'm sure there are some that I'm just not thinking of. Miss Piggy. I don't like Miss Piggy. How about that? I'm not a Miss Piggy fan. Don't like her. Find her annoying. Not a big fan. And Scrappy-Doo. How about Scrappy-Doo?
Puppy power!
Blackie Boo.
Uncle Scooby.
Oh, you jackass. You did that just because it's me.
And I'm like, Tooncast, those longtime Tooncast listeners, you get that joke.
Exactly. Scrappy-Doo loves you too.
I didn't realize these questions were so hard that I made.
Hey, you're the one. Okay, so that's the thing, folks. I was like, look, I need help. I need 20. I said 25 questions. He came up with 30, and I'm like, okay, fine, whatever.
I like him. It's just making me think. I thought I would just be able to do this off the top of my head, and it's harder than it sounds.
Apparently not, no. Yeah. Who are some of your favorite cartoon voices and voice actors?
This is where you want me to keep it brief, right? All right. Well, I'm a voice actor encyclopedia myself. So, obviously the obvious ones, Frank Welker is a god, Peter Cullen, Michael Bell, Neil Ross. Those are ones that I think of right away from early on. Later on, when you get into some of the ones that came around a little bit later in my life, it would be stuff like Maurice LaMarche, Rob Paulsen. I messed up. I forgot Jim Cummings early on, regardless of what anyone wants to say about false accusations. Jim Cummings was great. Let's see. I'm missing some people. obviously Larry Kenny and you know, a couple of those guys are great, but they weren't as prolific. As far as like, I didn't get to hear them as much. They, you know, they're only in like a handful of shows, so that's why I tend to go more towards the Michael Bells and the Peter mm-hmm. Collins and the Frank Welkers. But Charlie Adler, fantastic, does some crazy type voices. Chris Latta, obviously back in the day, mm-hmm. Scott McNeil. Man, there's so many good ones, and I feel bad because I'm for sure missing out some. If I got to give credit to the early on guys, though, there's never been somebody outside of maybe Frank Welker that is as good as Dawes Butler, or I guess you can throw Don Messick and Mel Blanc in there. But for me, Dawes Butler is the one that I go to out of those three that I think is just the end-all, be-all. Paul Frees, Paul Winchell. I haven't named any of the awesome women, so Tress McNeil. Tara Strong, or however,
mm-hmm. Tara Strong.
Gray Delisle or Gray Griffin, depending on
yep. what,
before or after marriage. Those are the ones that come to the top of my head, but, there's been so many good ones.
June Foray.
June Foray, obviously back in the day. I could just go on and on. I don't know how many you mm-hmm. want. I'll try to cut it off there, but
there you go. Did you ever own anything based on a cartoon, like obviously toys, comics, coloring books, that kind of thing?
Yes, and I still own them all. I've put pictures on Twitter, I think, and whatnot recently, but I uncovered a bunch of old coloring books and reading books from Silverhawks, Thundercats, He-Man, G.I. Joe, Transformers. I own a shite ton of toys from Transformers and He-Man and Star Wars. I know Star Wars was only in certain cartoons and a little bit later on, but those aren't from my childhood. Let's see what else. I have some of the Funko Pop figures from a few things. Not a lot, but just a couple that I've been gifted to over the years. I had the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles trading cards, like I talked about. Mm-hmm. I had the Viewmaster, a set of Transformers Viewmasters. There was another one too. I know I had Transformers Viewmasters. I had the He-Man Shrinky Dinks that you put in the oven and you colored beforehand or whatever. And they like had the little die cast almost cutouts of whatever you want to call them. Like I said, the Thundercats role playing stuff. All the movies, the TVD, you know, the DVD sets.
Mm-hmm, that's coming up.
Okay, but I have a lot of stuff. lots of shirts. I am obsessed with retro shirts, so I probably have 4 to 5 He-Man ones. I really only have one Transformers one. I have one that has all the 80s villains, you know, things like that. So I have a mm-hmm. lot of that type of stuff.
Very cool, very cool. What is your favorite cartoon theme song?
Jesus. Okay, I got to put a caveat on this because that is yet to be determined because I'm going through the journey of trying to figure that out. But the ones that come off the top of my head, and I'm only going to say this because they are still – one of them is what happens every time somebody calls me. So one of them is my general ringtone for everybody, and that's the Mysterious Cities of Gold.
God.
It's fun because that goes off and nobody knows what it is, and everyone's like, what is that on your phone or whatever? And then another one would be the Mask theme song. Say what you will about the actual cartoon, but the theme song is amazing. After that, I'm going to go to the Gummy Bears theme song.
Yep.
Disney's Adventures of the Gummy Bears. Those would probably be my top three. Mask, Mysterious Cities of Gold, and the Gummy Bears.
Awesome. How big is your animation DVD or digital collection? Are there any series that you own the complete set of? Well, no shit.
Jesus. All right, buckle up. Okay, I own all of the Transformers stuff, all the Beast Wars stuff, every episode of all the He-Man series so far except for New Adventures. So that's She-Ra, He-Man, and the 2002 series have all that. Have the entire series set of G.I. Joe, series 1 and 2 in the movie. I have all of the Thundercats, all of the Silverhawks, all of the Centurions, all of Brave Star, all or most of the Gummy Bears. My mind just went
blank. Gummy Bears only got one season, though.
Yeah, I think I have the complete series then. I have all of the Clone Wars, all of Rebels. I have some of the Smurfs. I have the complete series of... No, maybe not. I have Jetsons, Flintstones, and Yogi Bear. I don't know if they're all complete series yet. I have so many more obscure ones that I'm not going to be able to mention. Dungeons and Dragons, I have the complete series of... Turtles, I have the whole series, the original series in the little turtle van.
Yep.
I have like six versions of the Transformers animated movie, including VHS. Man, what else do I have? I have some of Pinky and the Brain and Animaniacs and Tiny Toons, I believe. There's so much. I'm missing probably a dozen that I haven't named.
Which cartoons had the biggest impact on your life?
Wow. That's a tough one. Impact on your life. I would say, in a way, I would almost put maybe Turtles ahead of some of the other ones in that respect. Only because... a lot of the other stuff I've mentioned so far was stuff I was watching at a very young age. We're talking about 3 or 4 years old until, you know, 9 or so. And Turtles came towards the end of that. So I feel like Turtles was the thing that I was watching as I was more so going out of the little kid phase and into the almost the teenage phase. So it was kind of that bridge that was, as I was kind of formulating things and what I was interested in, my personality was becoming more of a thing and whatnot. I feel like Turtles might have had more of an impact because you got to see 4 different turtles with different traits, different personalities, and as they were going through stuff. So even though it kind of bleeds over into that live action movie, which isn't cartoons, which is not what we're talking about, I still feel like that series in a way led to that, which kind of is a little bit more transformative as far as who you become and things of that nature. So maybe Turtles.
Very cool. What was the most money you spent on a cartoon item ever? Examples of this could be a DVD set, a cell, a print, or anything else.
I will exclude toys. So it's probably I think the Turtles van with the complete series was a little more expensive. There's 3 big ones that I have, obviously. The Turtle van that had the whole thing. I have the Matrix of Leadership that has the whole Transformers
and
thing.
The G.I. Joe.
And the G.I. Joe Foot Locker with all the G.I. Joe. And I think the Turtles was the most expensive out of those 3.
Do you have a My Parents Wouldn't Let Me Watch That Cartoon story?
I think as close to that as I can get is South Park. My mom didn't say I couldn't watch it, but I don't think maybe she didn't allow it in the house. I don't know. I know that but I also wasn't wanting to. So it was weird. It wasn't like one of those where I wanted to watch it and I wasn't allowed to. I knew different friend groups that would get together and watch it together, or different people at school that would watch it together. And a lot of those groups I didn't like. So okay. I just associated it with them and was like, hey, if these couple friends are thinking this show is great, like I hate those guys. Like I don't want to watch that show. But I don't think my mom would have been a big fan of that growing up. But I kind of got – my dad died at a young age. So my dad died when I was 10. So from that point on, things were pretty loose as far as what I could do and what I couldn't do. My mom wasn't trying to enforce a whole lot of stuff on that. But we were also – mature and smart enough at that point to make good decisions for ourselves. But I have a feeling if my dad were still alive later on, he would have definitely put the kibosh on certain things because he was a lot more strict and whatnot. But I don't ever remember like a specific thing outside of, I don't think she would have been a big fan of me watching South Park.
Mm. Very cool. What is your opinion on cartoon reboots and which ones do you think have been the most successful?
I know a lot of people just on the, like they hear reboots and they just immediately hate or they immediately critique the world as not being creative enough and you can't create your own unique stuff. So you just got to rehash the stuff, blah, 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 blah. I'm not part of that group. I think anything is fine. It's just in the execution that determines whether it's good or not. So I don't care if something's a new property or a reboot. I can like both equally. Mm-hmm. It just comes down to how it's done. So like I've mentioned a little bit, the 2002 He-Man and the Kevin Smith Masters of the Universe Revelation, two that have been done really well. Transformers Prime was done really well. The Animaniacs reboot, I haven't been able to watch all of it, but what I have seen has been done really well. I would say... that Thundercats reboot was pretty good. The DuckTales reboot was really good. I think that's a good one. It's possible to do it and do it well. Just sometimes it depends because the companies that are behind these are either doing it to actually make a good series. And because it's a labor of love, like we saw, you know, with regardless of what you say with Kevin Smith, regardless if it was him or if it was other people involved, people there actually, it was a labor of love. You could tell they were taking stuff out of the Filmation series and paying homage to it, et cetera. So it's either a labor of love or it's a company that's just trying to make a quick buck by throwing a name out there that is familiar to other people that they think is just going to garner money and support. Yeah. And when they do it that way and it's just a cheap grab, then it usually doesn't work out too well. And there's been quite a few G.I. Joe ones that have been terrible, a couple Transformers ones that have been terrible. Thundercats Roar was terrible. So there's been, you know, quite a few of those that haven't lived up to the original for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Which cartoon series from the past would you most want to, quote unquote, see more of, whether it be in a reboot, a live action movie, or any other form of media?
Well, I think it's only fair, even though I think we're getting it. But I think just the quick, obvious one for me, we've gotten Thundercats. Why haven't we gotten Silverhawks? So I would love to see some more Silverhawks. I know that's in the works and blah, blah, blah. So that's a cheap one to go for. I would say, let's see, we've gotten a reboot of Danger Mouse. We've gotten a reboot of She-Ra. I would say some of the other ones that I would like to see, I would love to see something done with Cops. That would be cool for me. I would love to see BraveStarr. BraveStarr does not get the attention that it deserves. I know it came later on and it was going against Turtles and it was one of the last Filmation hits, etc. But I feel like there's more there for BraveStarr that could work. I also think that Visionaries, I would love to see something on the Visionaries. That's almost impossible to even find anybody that knows what I'm talking about when I say that, but that would be cool. It's also impossible, by the way, to find the DVDs of that. They were available for a short time and it's like, unless you want to spend buku dollars, you cannot get those anymore. Let me try to think of one more that I would love to see more of. Visionaries, Silverhawks, BraveStarr. They already did a Mysterious Cities of Gold reboot, so that doesn't count. The original Dungeons & Dragons would maybe be interesting, but too many people would be confused as to what it was because of how much Dungeons & Dragons has become a thing outside of that. I know you would like to see more of the little koala.
No, hell no. We do not need – no. We do not need little bears getting all wet.
Now, people, listen to the 33-second clip.
Yes.
Listen very carefully.
Do it.
Oh, it happens every time when a boy
show off for his girlfriend, sooner or later he ends up all wet.
Oh, Jesus. I want to come up with one more, but I'm not sure if I'm going to come up with one. I already said visionaries, centurions maybe, and humanoids maybe. I don't know. That's all I got.
What is? There you go. What is your opinion of the cartoon sidekicks? Snarf, Orko, Copper Kid, hey. T-Bob. Hey, he's a sidekick.
Yeah, I think they're fine when done right. For example, I know I keep going to it, but Orko was done right in Masters of the Universe Revelation, so I had no problem with him there. I didn't have really a big problem with Copper Kid. You know, sometimes it was annoying, but that was more so the PSAs at the end and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, T-Bob was not the greatest. Snarf was more of the constant having to listen to him snarf. That was kind of annoying. So I feel like if it's done, I don't know. I'm not a huge fan, I guess, if I'm really breaking it down. Some of those didn't annoy me as much, but the reason I'm not a big fan is I don't believe in the idea that you need to dumb things down. You don't need to add a character that their only purpose is comedy. You don't need to add a character that their only purpose is to be the one the kid relates to, because mm-hmm. that's dumbing things down to kids. We don't need to have somebody as old as us or as little as us to relate to a show. Who are our favorite characters? Optimus Prime, Duke, Leonardo. You know what I mean? It's not the sidekick. So that defeats the logic behind that. If that was the character that we related to the most and was our entry level into the show, mm-hmm. then those would be our favorite characters. And nobody says that. Nobody says frickin' one of the Witwickies is their favorite character in Transformers. Give me a fucking break. So it's just a theory that there's no proof of it actually being a thing. There's no proof of that actually being a concept that works with kids. So I'm not a fan of them, but that doesn't mean that they're all terrible.
True.
If they get worked into the show and they're more like one of the gang, that's fine. If they're just like the little dumb comedy bit that's trailing along, then I'm not a big fan.
I know. In your opinion, which decade represents the quote unquote golden era of cartoons and why? 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, the 2000s, or the 2010s?
Well, first off, cartoons were fucking weird in the the 2000s. So don't ever go there. Like, I'm not saying there wasn't some good stuff there, but that was like people on crack were making those cartoons. And that's why nobody has an attention span anymore. No, that's a super side box or soapbox on the side. Okay, so in my opinion, it's very simple. Cartoons were fantastic in like the 50s. You'd almost have to go like 55 to 65. Mm-hmm. Late 50s, early 60s was a great era. You know, you had all of your classics in there, from Yogi Bear, Huckleberry Hound, your Flintstones, your Hanna-Barbera stuff, your Looney Tunes, like great time. Then it went into like a black hole in the late 60s to the 70s where censors and everything was making it so nothing good could be on. If you try to go through most of the 70s stuff, it's hard to find good stuff. Scooby-Doo was still kind of going through there, but other than that, 70s is a dark time. 80s is when the doors just got blown off the place. Like, 80s opened the doors for everything that came after it, starting, you know, with He-Man and things of that nature. And there's just great show after great show on 80s. And if you look at all the different reboots, all the different spinoffs, all the different, you know, things like that, movies that have been made out of shows that have been the 80s, it trumps any other decade by far. Granted, we're also in that time period where the 80s are the ones that are the adults. So it's shifting now into the 90s a little bit, but I just don't think the 90s holds up to the 80s. I think recently it's been a little bit better, but I think it would be number one is the 80s for me. And I'm not just saying that because that's when I grew up. I'm saying that because I've done a lot of looking into it. I've done a lot of research. I've done a lot of spreadsheets, a lot of going back through this stuff. So it's 80s for me, followed by those early, you know, like the 50s/very beginning of the 60s.
Mm. Very cool. Very cool.
Monotonous, isn't it?
This is inconceivable.
Cut. No, don't cut. Let the cameras roll and record it for posterity whilst I give this 2-bit Nimrod a severe dressing down. Sir, you have desecrated the spirit of show business make-believe by using real bullets. Cut. No, don't cut. Now get rid of the stupid thing, take your little prop gun, and stick to the script. Cut. No, don't cut. And another thing, expect a call from my attorneys about this unfortunate incident. And brother, when they call, you'd better... Now can we cut? You smug son of a...
And then probably followed by the 90s. Honestly, I'll give them that. They're probably in like third.
Some people view cartoons as something for quote-unquote children and don't view animation as a serious form of media that adults should consume. Who should cartoons be made for, in your opinion?
I think cartoons should be made for everybody. And I hate it when I hate it when people refer to animated movies as cartoons in a derogatory way. And I have a lot of people that are in my film Twitter circles that when an animated film comes out, somebody else will refer to it as, no, I don't watch cartoons, or, oh, that cartoon, or blah, 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 blah. I think that's horseshit. Because there's been so many cartoons that have been good for multiple age groups, multiple levels, and there's been mature cartoons, there's been rated R cartoons, there's been, you know, different levels that have been good for multiple people. So I don't, to me, that's like judging something based on what language it's in, based on what, just like black and white versus color. Like there might be stuff that's for you or not for you, but it doesn't diminish the quality of it just because it might not be what you like as far as your taste goes. Just look at the Miyazaki stuff. I know those are more movies than series, but there's a lot of mature themes being discussed in there. South Park is talking to adults. Like, yes, it works for kids, but there's a lot of adult stuff in there that's and I'm not talking about like adult, like crude, like Ren and Stimpy humor. I'm talking about like clever commentary on social and political stuff. So I feel like, you know, just look, I keep bringing it up like a broken damn record, but, look at the stuff that's been done reboot wise that has worked for adults and like the people that grew up on it, like Revelations, is speaking to adults. Yes, there's stuff that the kids might like, but it's definitely for men that are, you know, probably 30 to 50 years old. So I don't know. I don't think we should put anything in a box as far as, oh, it's this form of media, so it should be for that specific age group or whatever. Like, you can like whatever you like. Why is there a judgment on something you like? I don't care if I like freaking Care Bears. Like, it was definitely made for early childhood kids. But if you like it and you get something out of it, it takes you back to a time where you were happy or you were, you know, whatever, in better spot in a family life or whatever it might be. Like, who cares? It brings you happiness. I'm not going to let someone talk some down to something just because it's animated or whatever. That's silly to me. That's just like people that make fun of someone for having, you know, toys or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever.
Yeah, exactly. All right, folks, we are going to enter a fictional realm. These are fictional questions. 25 through 28 are questions that Kevin came up with in a fantasy world. So this is not real. 25.
Great questions. I don't know if I'm ready to answer them. Oh, my goodness.
If you could own any vehicle featured in a cartoon, which would it be and why?
Well, first of all, we have to disqualify Transformers.
Yeah, because they're actual characters. So yeah,
right. Man, I guess the first one that's popping into my head. So I guess I should go with that. But the first one that pops in my head when I think of that is the Thunder Tank. That's what it's called, right? The main vehicle in Thundercats, Thunder Tank. But there was some cool vehicles and masks that could make a run for it. That's for sure. I just don't know which one I would select. So that's why I guess I'll go with a Thunder Tank.
If you could live in any cartoon world that you wanted, where would you want to live?
Man. That is tough. Any cartoon world. Well, it's not going to be Snorks because I don't want to be underwater the whole time. I love the Wild West, so BraveStar would be interesting. Any cartoon world, that is tough. I think I like sci-fi, but I don't know about being floating off into space and Silverhawks and like not being connected to something and dying from some type of weird thing. Man, are you ready to answer this question when it's your turn? This is a hard one.
Kind of.
Hey, Lord. I mean, it's hard because like Transformers and G.I. Joe are just in the same world, I feel like.
Yeah.
So I guess I'll go with Brave Star.
Okay.
Cool. I like the Wild West.
There you go. Who would be your top three Toon Pals to join you and become a quartet?
So this is like we're going on our own adventure, and mm-hmm. I can only pick a couple. It's like you're trapped on a desert island, which people mm-hmm. are going to be surrounded with almost.
Yep.
I need to think this through a little bit. So I probably should have Man Alive. This is hard. I'm trying to think of the different traits and why they would be good. Cause like Man at Arms would be good because he can invent a lot of stuff and engineer some stuff that would be helpful for me. But he wouldn't like be one I'd want to like pal around with or something like that. And Shipwreck talks too dirty. He's like a sailor, so I can't pick him.
Hi, this is Neil Ross, voice of many of your favorite cartoon characters, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
Man, I would probably have to say
if you guys were as mean as you are ugly, then maybe you'd be trouble.
Panthro could also fix a bunch of stuff like Man at Arms, and I think mm-hmm. I would get along better with Panthro. So maybe Panthro.
Mm-hmm.
Quicksilver could fly me places, right? He could just hold on to me and fly me somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I'm going to go with Quicksilver, Panthro, Michelangelo. He would entertain me.
There you go.
Would be the comedic aspect of that. And then
you only get three.
Oh, those are my three then.
There you go.
There we go.
Okay, again, folks, fictional questions. If you could date any cartoon character, which one would it be and why?
All right, it's not going to be April O'Neil. She's out. It's not going to be Smurfette. She's out. It's not going to be Chitara. She's out. Tila and Evil-Lyn are out. No attraction to any of those folks. I already said Miss Piggy is disgusting and annoying, so she's out.
I'll show you!
Gidget from Rescue Rangers? Nope. That's a weird animal thing. Lady J, I was not a fan of. I was a fan of Scarlet.
Seeing you a groveling slave will provide me with great pleasure.
Groveling before a meatball like you isn't my style, Destro.
You're a paradox, Scarlet.
So she would be in the running, but so would She-Ra. And I already said so would Jem.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I blanking? Was it, what's her name? Jerrica,
yeah.
So they would definitely be in the running. Let me see if there's anybody else. I'm just trying to think real quick. I don't know what's Steel.
Yeah, whatever the, yeah. I know you're
talking always, about. She's always metal, so I don't mm-hmm. know what she exactly looks like underneath all that. Not trying to say underneath all that, but you know what I mean.
I know what you mean, yeah.
Man, Scarlet, Jem, or She-Ra. It'd be a three-way race.
Wow, that just went to a 69, folks. All right. Fantasyland is over now. We get back to the final two questions. What is the holy grail of cartoon artifacts? The Sword of Omens, the Matrix of Leadership, the Power Sword, T-Bob.
Yeah, I was trying to find like sites that would list like all the different artifacts or different like special vehicles or special weapons or special gadgets or gidgets, because I feel like there's a ton of them, but I can only think of like six mm-hmm. off the top of my head. But Sword of Omens would give me sight beyond sight. Power Sword would give me all the power. The Matrix would give me the leadership there, abilities. I'm trying to think if there's the Triforce for Zelda maybe would come into play there.
Mm-hmm.
I think if I had to pick one, I'm going to go with the Matrix of Leadership. Why not?
Yeah, but it's empty. We used up all the wisdom. Damn hate plague.
The wisdom of the ages. It's lost.
No, not lost. We're all a little wiser now.
But the Matrix is empty.
It's up to all of us to fill it again. With the wisdom we accumulate from this moment on. Autobots, transform and roll out!
Oh, Lord.
What is one piece of advice you'd give the cartoon fandom in general?
Just calm down. Calm down. It doesn't have to be a right or wrong out there in the world of cartoon fandom. There doesn't have to be... Everybody doesn't have to like the same stuff. So... Stop with the whole combativeness about one person liking something and somebody else not liking it. Like, we can all like stuff. We can all dislike stuff. That's why there's thousands of cartoons out there. So you can all find one. And stop with the whole ruining my childhood stuff. That is such a dumb argument. That's a lame argument. It's never happened. Something that happens when you're 40 cannot ruin things that happened 40 years ago that are over and said and done with. That childhood still existed. You still enjoyed it. You still had fun, or you did whatever you did during your childhood, but nothing can change that after the fact. Those things still exist. If you like the original He-Man, go back and watch the original He-Man. It's still there forever. You can watch every episode on repeat for the rest of time. That's fine. And if you like whatever, you like, let's see, My Little Pony, cool. I don't get into it, but that doesn't mean you can't like it, and I'm not going to judge you. For whatever weird stuff you do with ponies. Like, dress up like them, cosplay like them, do the furry thing. I don't care. I'm not here to judge. So, like, the cartoon fandom needs to just celebrate that people can like stuff and it brings them joy. And we need more of that. So just be happy, be joyful, and just if you don't like it, keep scrolling. Keep streaming something else. Keep flipping past. You don't have to interact.
Yeah, exactly. It's so funny. You say ruined my childhood thing, and all I can think of is what Michael Wilson said way back when we found the picture of Starscream. And he's like, yeah, Michael Bay raped my childhood. And I'm like, yeah, Michael Bay raped your childhood like Starscream rapes giant metal bugs. Because there's an episode in G1 where it shows Starscream looking like he's humping this beetle thing.
But that's a great example. You bring up Michael Bay, all right? And I'm not saying that I didn't... get angry about it or whatever. Like, I didn't like the Michael Bay films. I thought they did bring me a serious level of disappointment. Like, I was super excited that Transformers were finally going to be live action. When I saw the first shots of the Transformers actually transforming, I thought it was amazing. I was losing my shit for it. And, you know, the story overall wasn't great, right? Does not ruin my childhood.
No, it doesn't.
It might have been a letdown of something that I loved during my childhood, but guess what? I still have all the great memories of Transformers. I still have all the great memories of playing with the toys, of watching the cartoon, of going to the movie, of talking Transformers with my friends. Like, none of that will ever go away. Nobody can take that from me. You could make 1,000 terrible Transformers series and movies, and I will still always have G1.
Yeah, exactly. So
that's fine. And if other people like the movies, if that was their entry level into the franchise and it got them interested and maybe it inspired them to go back and watch Beast Wars or G1 or Animated or Prime or whatever, like, cool. But, like, that's fine. You can like what you like. It wasn't for me. I still love G1, and that still exists.
Exactly. You have a DVD set to prove it.
Right. You don't like Masters of the Universe Revelation? Guess what? Filmation still exists.
Exactly.
2002 Mike Young version still exists. If you like New Adventures of He-Man, I question your sanity, but but you're allowed to like it, and it still exists.
Exactly.
I love you. Shut up, bitch. I'm not done.
All right, folks. Would you like to be on the Origins episodes here at Tooncast? Send an email to feedback@geekcastradio.com with the subject line Tooncast Origins Guest Spot. You must have 1 year or more of podcast experience, a good microphone, and be on Skype or Zencaster.
I can't wait to hear some other people's answers to some of those questions, especially the car and the planet that they live on and the girl, like, especially DJ Valentine. I want to hear his answers.
Oh, no, I can't wait to do that episode. Good Lord. All right, Toonsters, as always, we want to thank you for joining us here on Tooncast. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Send us email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays. Apple and Google Podcasts, leave us reviews, please. Spotify and any other podcatching client you choose to use. Follow us on Twitter at GCR and Tooncast and Tooncast Beyonder for the show. You can also follow at Geekcast Radio for the network. I'm at TFGU and Mike. What is your Twitter?
At Optimus Solo.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Geekcast Radio Network. You can also search out Tooncast All Tunes All the Time over there as well. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tooncast and wish you'll join us next time when we will be giving you our thoughts on Marvel Studios' What If, Season 1, Episode 7.
More than battles won or lost, it's relationships that truly define a hero. The people who shape them, their stories. Thor and Loki, a brotherhood so strong and pivotal, it would change the fate of a universe. Their childhood taught Thor many lessons. But in another universe, instead of raising the Jotunheim prince Loki as his own son, Odin returned him to his people. Without his trickster brother to keep things, let's say, lively, Thor grew into a very different prince.
For now, I am TFG and Mike with
Optimus Solo.
Thank you for listening. Until next time. Oh, and unleash the tune in you.
Yes, they're using it now. We must hurry to Hordak's throne room.
I know the way. Come on, He-Man!
And today I have the first ever episode of this format with Mr. Optimus Solar. Ugh, God, that sucked. I gotta redo that.
Clang? Did you say Clang?
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The Geekcast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news,
play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or geekcastradio.com.
Beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.